Hello everyone, this is Business Standard's COVID Update Podcast. I'm Kanishka Gupta and it's Tuesday, 24th of November. So today we will try to decode frequently asked questions about COVID vaccine, be it its effectiveness, the process, timeline, and more. But first, the caseload. India added nearly 38,000 new cases in the last 24 hours, while over 42,000 patients were cured successfully. Now, after Pfizer and Moderna, the much-anticipated AstraZeneca-Oxford vaccine candidate has shown positive results in an interim analysis of clinical trials in the UK and Brazil. With a vaccine efficacy of up to 90% in different dosing regimes. Now, sources reveal that data from the global trials would be submitted to the Indian regulator by the end of December. And Serum Institute of India, which is AstraZeneca's manufacturing partner here, would submit the interim data from the Indian Army by then. But how do we calculate a vaccine's effectiveness? Well, let's say there is a trial with 10,000 people and they are divided into two equal lots of 5,000 each. They are sorted out with similar characteristics of age, health, gender, etc. and split between the two groups. Now, one group gets the vaccine while the other a placebo. Now, in a double-blind trial, the doctors don't know who gets what. So let's say 50 people in the placebo group contract COVID-19 and only 5 individuals in the vaccinated group get infected. So the doctors then assume, with some, you know, degree of statistical fudging, that the vaccine has been effective in protecting 45 people who would otherwise have been infected. So they take the ratio 50:5 and claim the vaccine is about 90% effective. Now, please note, these trials are ongoing, so the effectiveness numbers will change, maybe even for the better. But we also don't know how long the immunity lasts yet. Now, how long will it take? You see, these vaccines must be produced in quantity to inject billions of people, and that takes time. So we know vaccines are supposed to create herd immunity. And as the numbers of immunized people increases, as percent of the population, infection rates drop. So even a non-immunized person is less likely to contract the disease, simply since there is less chance of encountering someone who is infected. Now, eventually, if the vaccination programs get enough mileage, the disease is eradicated. And this happened with smallpox and polio, except in few countries. And it has greatly reduced incidence of cholera and hepatitis. Now, Indians above a certain age will recall the annual smallpox vaccination, which was itchy. Now, though India hopes to start rolling out a COVID-19 vaccine by March 2021, it faces a steep challenge, which is cold chain and distribution infrastructure. Rajesh Bhushan, who is secretary to India's Federal Health Ministry, said, and I quote, "The nation with the world's second highest infections plans to use the existing cold chain network in place for its universal immunization program," unquote. But experts believe that the infrastructure is geared to only immunize children and pregnant women, which means vaccinating India's 1.3 billion people will require its capacities to be significantly scaled up. Now, the next question, how do vaccines work? So whenever such questions about the vaccine and its working come, a significant figure comes to the mind. Edward Jenner, who created the first vaccine back in 1798. So what he did, he noticed that dairy workers who were often infected with cowpox had smallpox immunity. Now, for those who don't know, cowpox is a disease that primarily targets cattle. So he created a vaccine using biomaterials harvested from dairy workers who had recovered from cowpox. So this worked In a nutshell, the cowpox victims had antibodies that fought off smallpox, and the two diseases are caused by closely related virus. Now, later scientists discovered someone injected with a weakened or dead strain of a virus would develop antibodies. Until very recently, the basics of vaccine development involved creating weak or dead strains of virus or bacteria to be injected. Now, the body developed antibodies which then recognized and fought off full-fledged infections. But the rapid-fire development of COVID-19 vaccine is not only due to the, you know, enormous resources thrown at COVID-19. It was possible due to the use of new techniques for so-called RNA vaccine development. Now you may ask, what's new about RNA vaccines? Well, the new RNA-based technology bypasses creating dead viruses. The body uses RNA, which is ribonucleic acid, to give instructions to the DNA, which is deoxyribonucleic acid, to produce antibodies. Now, in effect, RNA carries the coded recipe for antibodies. An RNA-based vaccine is based on injecting RNA with those coded instructions, making the process both faster and cleaner, which works by creating RNA with desired coding in the lab. Now, then comes the question, how much will it cost and what are the other issues? Well, RNA is delicate, and the Pfizer vaccine, which is more than 90% effective, must be stored at minus 20 degrees Celsius. Now, creating cold chains to deliver this to billions is impossible in any reasonable time. However, the Moderna vaccine, which is also RNA-based and 94.5% effective, seems viable at normal refrigeration temperature of 2 to 8 degrees Celsius, which makes distribution easier. Even so, this will take a Herculean task, and an off-the-cut estimate that 80,000 crore rupees is required to immunize India's 1.3 billion could well be an underestimate. Well, that's all we have for you in this edition of the podcast. For a detailed version, I would suggest you to read our story, Decoded, Why the Moderna COVID-19 Vaccine Holds Promise Over Pfizer's, by Devangshu Datta. For more news, views and updates, stay locked on to businessstandard.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram and Telegram, and subscribe to our channels on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Stay safe, stay informed.